This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
The working people that have built this country and that we're going to depend to build this country going forward are being abused. You're treated like trash. You're just disposable. It's in every aspect of society that the people that built this country don't matter anymore. And you can see that, compare and contrast what happened at Silicon Valley Bank and what happened here.
Your plight is our plight.
Amen.
Your life is our life.
Amen.
Your problems are our problems.
Amen.
That's why we're here.
We've been struggling with our water. We've been struggling with the EPA. It's criminal what's happening down here.
Fish are dying in rivers. Animals are dying. What's the status of the water?
None of the results are coming back with levels of concern. So we need for people to trust government.
And they're devastated. They are financially devastated. Their homes are worthless. They're living off their investments.
I have to say thank you to you, Peter Navarro, Steve Cortez, Dave Brad. Yeah, because we are listening to what Wall Street is saying, and it didn't make sense. So when we tuned into you guys, we're like, that makes sense.
I'm a minister from about an hour west of here. I got to tell you, I speak for all of us when I say thank God for you and for Real America's Voice.
Well, it's a team effort. It's you. We're honored to be here. Where are you from, ma'am?
I'm from East Palestine, 27-year resident. My name's Tammy. And I really appreciate you being here because we need some answers. We need an answer why the night of that derailment, this place wasn't evacuated further. They only took a few people out. There were chemicals burning off that night. And the next 2 days, we didn't find out until Sunday afternoon that there was vinyl chloride burning. No one told us. And we had to stay here and breathe that. What kind of effect does that have on people? Then they go and burn the thing up and blow the whole town up on Monday afternoon. So where are the answers? Where are the results from all of these tests they are doing?
None of the results are coming back with levels of concern.
I said, why didn't you do that to begin with instead of nuking us? And he said, I don't know. I didn't think of that. So now we got dead deer, three more yesterday up at Beaver Creek State Park.
Three dead deer?
Dead deer.
They could have taken the hazardous material, transferred it to other vehicles, and gotten it out of here. There was no need for a controlled release, and there's no need. First of all, it's an uncontrolled release. Once it goes into the ditch, it's everywhere. It's in the groundwater, right? Number one. Number two, it's an uncontrolled burn. And the CEO of Norfolk Southern, you got to stop your lying. You got to stand up and be a man and be held accountable. And the EPA, the chain of command that night, the issue is who authorized that. That was in the chain of command. And I'm going to tell you who it's not. It's not the fire chief in East Palestine. What they're going to try to do is to shuffle this off to everybody's local and said, oh, it's the people in East Palestine. They were all confused and they were disoriented. That's all a lie.
Whoa, we're in East Palestine, Ohio. Whoa. Man, oh, man. I think this audience is livelier than CPAC, than Turning Point, than anywhere we've been. Thank you very much. Honor to have you guys here. We're in East Palestine. I've got Ed and Karen. Go stick with us for a second.
Good morning.
We are jammed in the first couple of blocks. Let's go. We got Ben Burquam, our own Ben Burquam, down at one of the creeks. Ben, just tell us where you are. We're not going to be able to do the whole thing. We're going to come back to you. Just tell us where you are. Give us a setup.
So we're right. You can see the restaurant behind us. Right across the street are the aeration generators that you saw yesterday. But in a minute, I'm going to take you past this house right here. This is a house that lives right next to the creek. And we're going to go down and show you just what they're having to live with down here in East Palestine. It's horrific.
Ben Burquam, Real America's Voice, the top investigative reporter in the country. Thank you very much. So you hang right there. We're here for Ben. Why is Michael Regan, the head of the EPA, why has he not been at that creek with Ben Burquam? Why?
Criminal.
I know.
Maybe they don't care.
Well, yeah. The inspector general, by the way, great news to report. as Jeff Clark broke on the show yesterday, the Inspector General of the EPA announced they're going to do an entire investigation of everything related to East Palestine, including who authorized the control release and who authorized the control burn. That's an IG, Inspector General of the EPA.
They're independent, but will they bury it?
Well, we're going to have to.
We're going to have to get Ben, because I'm not much of an investigative reporter. I'm known as Karen's sidekick. So I'm going to have to defer to Ben on that.
That was only yesterday.
The biggest scoop we had yesterday's show that Ed Henry actually had a job before he was Karen Turk's wingman.
Yeah, exactly.
Only 10 years at the White House.
I only got 150 texts about Bannon ribbing me. That's it. It was fun.
Okay. I tell you what, we've got a very special guest. He's under time pressure. He wanted to come on today because of his love for the people here in East Palestine. Let's play the cold open for Eli Crane, the Navy SEAL congressman from the great state of Arizona.
The message from House Republicans to President Biden is clear. There will be no increase in the debt limit in the absence of significant and meaningful spending cuts. I am very proud that House Republicans ran against the inflation that has crushed American families. And this today represents the most specific detail in our plan to stop that inflation. The American people know that inflation is often induced by excessive government spending. And so we have laid out a plan represented in this body of legislative work that doesn't cut Social Security, that doesn't cut Medicare, but that attacks a woke and weaponized government that the American people should not continue to have to fund at the expense of their own economic security and the economic security of future generations. Inflation is still stubbornly high. Spending is rising. We have banks failing, and we've reached the debt limit. It seems like a perfect time to assess the things that are no longer necessary for us to spend funds on. I am particularly pleased that in this plan, in the messaging from the House Freedom Caucus, and even in Speaker McCarthy's letter to President Biden today, I see reflected my call for work requirements on Medicaid and on a number of the social safety net programs.
Is Eli Crane there? Eli, let's bring you in. Eli Crane, can we give it up for Eli Crane?
All right.
Thanks, Steve. Pleasure to be with you.
Eli, you got a lot of fans. You got a lot of fans here in East Palestine. Here's the question. These folks want to know, Biden's refusing to negotiate on the debt limit. You're a Navy SEAL. What are you guys going to do about this, sir?
Well, I think you saw a preview of it in January, Steve. We're going to hold the line and get the best deal that we can for the American people. As I've already learned in this town doesn't change without force. And it takes individuals who have the courage to come up here, stand in the gap, take the slings and arrows. That's actually what I took my time talking about in the press conference yesterday with Congressman Andy Biggs, Rosendale, Good, Ralph Norman, and others. I took my time calling out conservative talking heads in the media who didn't have our back in that fight. Not only were they MIA, but they were dropping bombs on us, Steve. And I want to make sure that they know that we're watching them, and they might have the opportunity to redeem themselves on this next fight. Because as you know, Steve, when you start talking about making cuts in this town, people get their, you know, tail feathers ruffled. They start whining, crying, complaining. And we definitely expect that. But we're not doing this, you know, for fame. We're doing this for the American people, for our kids, for our grandkids, for those amazing people that you're with in Ohio right now. This government up here in Washington, D.C., there is no appetite to cut spending, as you know. They think we can just keep spending money and money and money that we don't have. It's not acceptable. And the Freedom Caucus and others are going to do everything that we can to stop it.
Let me ask you, your district out in Arizona is much like the folks here. We're in with East Palestine and the surrounding area in Western Pennsylvania. What do your constituents tell you about when they see these bank failures, they see the out of control spending, and really nothing's being done back in their district? What's the message you're getting from your district?
The message from my district, Steve, is to keep fighting. That's why they sent a guy like me that has, you know, didn't have any political experience. They were tired of sending the same old, you know, political types, you know, that have been wrapped up in the system for a long time, that have been compromised years and years ago. They wanted somebody fresh who wasn't compromised, who they thought might actually come here and do what he said he was going to do. And it is my honor to serve this country again, Steve. It is my honor to serve great American patriots in Arizona's 2nd Congressional District who love this country, who love God, who love their families, who just want to be left alone and want to continue to, you know, enjoy the America that many of us have grown up in. But more importantly, they want it for their kids and for their grandkids. And that's not going to happen if we continue to be the silent majority and we don't show a little bit of backbone and we don't stand up to all of these radicals, these radical ideologies that are trying to destroy this country right now.
Congressman, this is Ed Henry here as well. And I know the great people of Arizona, as Carrie Lake talked about so well, care about the border. And you talked about in your campaign as well. I'm seeing about $150 billion or so when you talk about spending money that's gone to Ukraine, worrying about their borders, rebuilding their country. And yet it's not just the Democrats that are the problem. From my understanding, listening to Matt Gaetz and yourself and others, House Republicans have not moved on border funding yet. They've not moved on various border security measures. Jim Jordan was supposed to mark up about 8 bills last week, as I recall, and there's been a deadlock among Republicans. How do you move forward on border security, sir?
Well, as you guys know, we have some individuals in our own party who are kind of stonewalling with us acting on some of the promises that we made the American people. I know Matt Gaetz talked about it at the Trump rally this last weekend. So we're going to continue to put pressure on those individuals who don't seem to really quite get the problem, who don't want to be tough on border issues, and who are holding the Republican Party back right now from executing the promises. So, you know, and that's where we need your help as well, you know, because a lot of these folks up here, they don't have backbone, and we can use that against them. They're like they're like weather socks that blow in the wind regarding which way the political winds are blowing. So we need you to call these members of Congress that aren't showing any backbone, aren't showing any resolve to help us, you know, with the border crisis that we have down there. And that's step one. But, you know, like I said, there are amazing representatives up here who do know how big of a problem that is. I'll give a shout out to one of my brothers, Chip Roy. You know, he's been working on this for a long time, Congressman Andy Biggs. And my job up here as a freshman Congress member, Steve, is to support, be courageous, and, you know, stand alongside these men and women who want to make sure that our borders are secure, these communities are safe. We stop fentanyl, MS-13 gang members, and people on the terror watch list from coming into this country.
Eli, what is your? How do people follow you on social media? You got a lot of fans out here in Eastern Ohio. How do folks follow you?
Yeah, they can follow me. You know, I'm all over social media. Rep Eli Crane is a good place to follow me. Eli Crane, CEO, if they want to follow my personal. But thank you so much, Steve, for all you're doing. I got a chance to go to the D.C. prison last week, you know, to get eyes on. And I know that's what you're doing in Ohio right now. For all of you folks out there in Ohio, we love you guys, and I hope that we can be a part of exposing, you know, some of the poor decisions that were made that are affecting your daily lives.
Eli, thank you. Let's give it up for Eli, a warrior. Two days. What did you guys take away from East Palestine on your second trip?
This is just an amazingly vibrant community, despite the challenges they have, and they're going to make a comeback like the world has not seen before.
I agree with that, but my takeaway is it's been a few weeks since we were here the first time. We were on War Room at that time remotely. Now it's good to see you in person. I think in some ways it's gotten worse. My nose yesterday was burning as we went through here after I was here for a few hours. I don't want to exaggerate. I wasn't down for the count, but I felt it when you're around here. We showed pictures on American Sunrise of children with rashes all over their bodies. Yeah. And Karen did some digging on that. And that can, you know, not to be alarmist, but it can suggest that there's been exposure to dioxins, which lead to cancer and all these other things. So this is a serious time. And the fact that the First Lady, Jill Biden, is in the Buckeye State today, and at least as far as we know so far, has no plans on the schedule to come here. You're in the very state, and you don't even come. It shows you their priorities.
Ed and Karen, thank you very much. Honor to have you on here. And we love that thing, the sunny side up, the nice lead-in to Darth Vader.
Can we do that more? Do you want to adopt that? We'll share it with you. We'll license it.
Okay, short break. Ed and Karen, thank you. We'll be back to East Palestine in a second.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, we're here in East Palestine. It's 29 March, year of our Lord, 2023. You're in the war room. Want to thank all you guys for being here. Let's have a big shout out for this town, East Palestine, Ohio. As I found out yesterday, there's also 50 different communities around here. So I'm not from East Palestine. You guys should be. It's fantastic. Okay. We've got a lot to get to, a lot of show to get to. We got Cortez coming up, Joe Allen. There's been the elite of, the technical side. Okay, baby. We're on the set. The leaders in artificial intelligence last night, 1,000 of them, put out a letter. They want to stop all research in artificial intelligence for 6 months. I'm not saying that's because of the war room, but the Chinese never do it. John Fredericks, how you doing, brother?
Good to see you, Steve.
Good to see you. How'd the interview go with the president?
Great, right? Didn't it go great? Right? We got his back. We got his back. He's got your back. We have his back. Let's go. We're going to win Pennsylvania for the third time in 2024.
Got to do it. He wanted to do it.
Pittsburgh.
He heard the show was hot. That's why I actually wanted to do it.
That's
why
we tried to get him, and he tunes me in sometimes in the morning when he's shaving on my app. So I got like a short window. So he tuned us in here the other day at like 7 when he was doing whatever he was doing. And he's like, hey, I want in. So that's why he came
in. You know it's hot when the president wants in.
Okay. He wants in because he loves you. That's why he wants
in. Big time. By the way, the inflection point for his campaign was President Trump coming to East Palestine. There's no doubt.
Yes, sir.
That's when it started to get some real feel to it that, hey, this has got a higher purpose, right, than setting things right for 2020, which is big in and of itself. Okay, let's go to Ben Berquam. Ben, can you give us a live display? Yesterday, by the way, we made the creek with the pump, the Rube Goldberg. Come on, John, come on over.
I want to get in the shot.
No, come on over. Ben Berquam, tell us once again, where are you and what are you going to do?
Well, speaking of the real president, President Trump, when he came to East Palestine and visited before anyone from Joe Biden's regime had come here, he came right across the street from me to the parking lot behind me. So this house, these neighbors were able to see President Trump, and they really appreciate that because nobody else up until that point had come here. But just to give you an idea of the proximity, this is their wall. This is the wall of one of the houses that lives along the creek where this disaster happened. This is as close as they are. I could lay down and touch the water here. And this is what they're having to deal with, Steve. If we can get in on here, and if you just start churning this water up, even just a little bit, and look at the surface of the water. I'm going to stop here for a second. You can just watch it. You get that rainbow-colored bubbles coming up to the surface. And this is like this all the way along this creek. And this, again, this is 2 months after they had supposedly cleaned it. We have these aerators or oxygenators or whatever you want to call them downstream. They've supposedly been cleaning this. They're telling the residents that this water is safe, that their community is safe, that there's nothing to see here, that the levels of contaminant are safe. And I got to tell you, Steve, every time I do this, every time this contaminant starts coming up to the surface, it starts popping. And you can taste it, you can smell it, and almost immediately your throat starts burning, your eyes start burning, you get a headache. I had shortness of breath every time I'm here. This is what the people of East Palestine have to live with under a Joe Biden regime. And really, you know, the saddest part to me about this, if I lived here, I've got two young kids, I've got two young daughters, and all I can think, when I was a kid, man, anytime there was a creek, I was in it. You live right here, you buy this house so you can enjoy it. Now you can't even sell this house. And if you have kids, you can't even let them play in their backyard. It's just, it's atrocious. But I do have to say, I want to say one thing real quick, Steve. I went to a worship event last night called, it was Hope for East Palestine. And I got to tell you, there is still hope in this community. The people of this community are God-fearing Americans. They love God. They love their country. They love their families. And we're not giving up on them. And I promise, and I know one thing, God isn't giving up on them. God wins in all of this. But we have to expose this. We have to expose the people that caused this, and we have to hold them accountable.
Ben, just stay right there. I want to make sure for our national and international audience,
if you just, that bridge, that pump we saw yesterday is just on the other side of that bridge. So this is downstream from that pump, correct?
Come with me. We'll head over there. Let's go over there. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm going to walk you over. Now, these are the pumps. This is the contamination ponds where they're catching all of these contaminants. We'll just walk across the street here real quick. Go ahead, Ben. Go ahead, head across there. And these are the contamination ponds where they've been running these aerators for the last 8 weeks. And yet we're still seeing what we're seeing all along the creek. You go downstream, upstream, everywhere you go. Because the problem with these is all they're doing is taking the water out of the creek and they're throwing it back up into the air. They're not doing anything about the sediment that's down below it. And that's where all of this contaminant lies. It's all in the sediment. I've been speaking to some locals, and they keep asking, why won't they dredge it? Why won't they dredge it? They need to get rid of this. And the answer they keep being told is, well, it won't be environmentally friendly to do that. Well, excuse me, pardon me. Leaving these chemicals for these people to seep down into their groundwater, that is not, it's just unacceptable.
Okay, Ben, hang on for 1 second. You live on that block?
Yeah, I lived down that street there where they're blowing it in the air. The creek wraps around. Let me stand up.
Yeah, sure.
We can go right in that camp, okay. Right there. The creek wraps back behind my house. They run pumps 24/7 down around there. I got heavy trucks and equipment running up and down our street all day, all night. Got a sign right in front of my house about the power lines that. It's kind of disruptive, very disruptive to our home life.
Has anybody, an official, has anybody come to you, and can we get the shot of just the pump again and put it back over a second? Has it maybe split screen it? Has anybody come to you and walked you through the methodology of what they're trying to accomplish with the pump and why the creek still got the thing? Has any official come to the community and say, hey, here's what we're going to try to do, here's what the baseline is, and here's what we hope to achieve?
No, exactly. As an engineer, yeah, I normally want to see, okay, what's the plan? What is the plan? How are you going to move from point A to point Z? How are we going to, you know, you're starting with aeration, but then, yeah, why are we not dredging? What is the plan? What they're telling us a lot of what they're not finding, but they aren't telling us what they are finding either. Yeah, they're not volunteering anything about what they are finding, because they wouldn't still be doing this if they weren't finding anything.
And how long has that been going on with the pump in the creek?
Oh, weeks. I'm going to say a month, month and a half.
And there was no, they didn't come before they did it and said, hey, here's what the logic is of aeration. It's not going to be a problem. It gets in the air.
No, they have not. We were a little, well, and then it flooded it anyway. I mean, it flooded out there at least once, if not two or three times. It flooded out on the banks, so they just pushed it out.
And the kids are free to play in the creek? as little boys often want to do?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no limited access to the creek right now. As far as I know, the trail that runs down the park is still open. It weaves back and forth across. In fact, that's where I take my grandchildren when they come up every year. And that's one of my big concerns this year.
You're a grandfather?
I am. I have 4 grandchildren. Wow.
They grow them young out here in Ohio. Wow. All of a sudden I feel old. What's your name?
Matthew Hupp.
Matthew Hupp. Okay, thanks. Here's a question for everybody. Is that the central problem? Is that they haven't come and walked through a methodical plan? You know why they haven't done it? Because they think you're a bunch of rubes, right? They think you're too dumb. You're too dumb. You know, they sit in the corporate boardrooms, and they sit in the corporate boardrooms, and they're making presentations of how do we get out of here with the least amount of money spent, right? How do they don't care? They think it's beneath them that they don't have to come. Explain, you saw in the video, Michael Regan is sitting there and mourning Mika, and Mika saying, hey, you're seeing stuff all in the air and dead deer. What's going on? He goes, well, we found no problems, and they have to trust the government. Do you guys trust the government?
No!
Is the way the government's handled this, are they trustworthy?
No!
Where's the sense of urgency? Where's the sense of urgency?
No, so, do you think they have a sense of urgency of cleaning this up?
You have a plan of failure, you lose by default. And they don't have a plan of success like that gentleman just mentioned.
Didn't it really seem, looking at that as a layman, I'm a layman, didn't it really, because I agree with you 100%, they all think we're too stupid to figure this out, right? But didn't that look like, well, we just need to do something?
Yeah, it's optics.
Let's put a couple things there, have something spew and say, hey, it's taken care of it.
Yes.
I mean, that's not going to do anything, right? Yes. Even as it's just looking at us like, that's a joke. But they think you're too stupid. We're all too dumb because we all have to work for a living. We got dirt under our fingernails. We have calluses on our hands.
What do you mean? When you say a plan for success, what do you mean?
Well, the gentleman mentioned that you had asked him, did anybody come here and lay out a plan to deal with this stuff? He says, no. The plan of success is what we talked about earlier. It's removing this water out of here. That aeration, I couldn't believe it. When you spray that up in the air, the VOCs are released in the air again. And that's why Ed Henry had some issues. And a lot of people have some issues with the noses. That thing needs to be shut down immediately. Okay, you can't push that poison in the air so it
has
goes
any
airborne.
Has any official explained to you that, or have there been a town hall where you've actually gone and said, hey, we'd really appreciate it if you take the Rube Goldberg pump and just let's shut it down for a time being?
Rube Goldberg.
Oh, so I actually, that's been my complaint since the beginning, and everybody I think can agree that there were only a few pumps here until they started redigging up the crash site. And I said, hey, why are there, now there's 24 aerators right here. There used to be three. And my thought was they're releasing more chemicals. So I went down to the EPA office and I talked to them Thursday, had a 20-minute conversation.
Hang on 1 second. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to be back here live. Do we think the folks in East Palestine are too dumb to understand this? I don't think so. That's what they think. I think they're plenty smart.
Better.
I've heard better recommendations here than anything the EPA said. Inspector General, short break.
Your host, Stephen K. Bann.
All right.
Welcome back to War Room here in East Palestine, Ohio.
Mo.
I don't think I'm going back. I think I'm staying.
Hold on. Do we want to see more of Mo on camera? She's going to be kind of. Vox populi. What can I say?
I mean.
Okay. John Fredericks, are the people here in East Palestine? I've heard smarter things coming out of these folks than everything I've heard following the EPA, following Norfolk Southern. Everything you guys have said here for the last day and a half has been more intelligent than what I heard of the CEO of Norfolk Southern, who 2/3 of his testimony is all, we're dedicated to help the people in East Palestine. That's all we're going to do. Do you guys believe that?
No.
Just a word salad?
Yep.
And has no, by the way, didn't they cancel last night? Kayla, did they actually end up, they didn't come to the town hall?
No, they did not.
Did they give any reason why they canceled?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, that's their attitude. We'll get to that. I tell you, we're going to go to Washington, D.C. We got Real America's Voice, Chris Carter with Jack Posobiec. A very important event happening there this morning. Do we have Chris? Chris Carter, can you take it away and get Jack Posobiec and tell us what's going on?
Yeah, I'm looking for him right now. He just stepped away for a moment, but I was just speaking with one of the featured speakers, Kirk Cameron. This is the Freedom Island Book Tour, and what this is a children's book series that they're debuting here that has a lot of different Americana feelings to it, and the things that we had as we were kids growing up, the Pledge of Allegiance, and all these good things. Here's Posobiec right here. Let's talk to him about it. Mr. Posobiec, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Chris?
We're doing well. So tell me, what's happening here this afternoon?
Well, this morning. Are we taping this
it's
for later?
It's a DC afternoon.
It's a DC afternoon. So with this DC afternoon, so Chris has had his brunch already. For him, it is afternoon, right? We are doing a book club reading, the Freedom Island Book Club. It's myself. It's Chaya Reichick from Libs of TikTok. It's Kirk Cameron, the great Kirk Cameron. And Sean Spicer himself is also here. What we've done is we put together a kids book series called Brave Books. And each of us tell a story about one set of characters that live on this island called Freedom Island. And then so I've got my book, and Sean has one, and Chaya has one, and Kirk has one. But all the characters kind of, you know, go in between
Chris.
The books. And so we're here today.
Hey Chris,
and honestly,
is this
a lot
version
of people said
of,
that they thought that maybe.
He could hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Is this a version? I thought this was a drag queen story hour. What's going on? I'm hearing freedom and liberty in America. I thought it was drag queen story hour.
They're not invited. They've not been invited. Unfortunately, we were trying to get one. I was asking Steve Cortez if he might dress up. I thought maybe Steve would be interested in dressing up for us. He unfortunately wasn't able to attend. So I'm sorry, but Steve, you still owe me.
Okay, guys, thank
you. You can tell I'm dressed the part. We're ready.
There is a big police.
So right now, what we are is we're at the Cleveland Park Library. I don't know. The law enforcement here's presence is pretty strong, and we haven't.
Steve, we've got police inside and out. They're surrounded the building. We've got uniforms. We've got plain clothes. We've got people on the upstairs, the downstairs. They're all throughout, keeping everybody safe as they arrive. It's still early to the event here. We got Libs of TikTok right there. Do you want her to say hi?
Sure.
Do you want to say hi?
Here you go.
You're almost Steve Bannon.
Oh, hi.
So talk to me a little bit about what's going on here and what you hope to accomplish this afternoon.
Yeah, so one second.
Throw that in there. We're on the fly here at Real America's Voice.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so I've been exposing the far left's agenda to sexualize kids over the last 2 years. And now I wrote a kids book, which basically helps to counteract that. So one of the first steps of a groomer is to cut out the parent, isolate the child so they can prey on them. And my book basically teaches kids to have a trusting relationship. It strengthens the family unit so that if a predator does prey on a child, then they can go to their parent and hopefully not fall into that trap.
Fantastic. Chris, we love you guys. We'll be coming back to you.
Go ahead, Steve.
Thank Libs of TikTok, Jack Posobiec. Fantastic. Great job. Where do we get the book? How do people get it?
LOTTbook.com or onbravebooks.com.
Okay, Brave Books. We'll do it. Thank you very much. Honor to have you out here. You see what they're doing. This is exactly what the Bolsheviks did, exactly what the Nazis did, exactly what Mao Zedong did, right? They come for the family. French Revolution, they always come for the family. And they try to separate out the children from the family, right? They try to make it the parents. That's what happened in Nashville yesterday, right? It's all about separating out the kids from the family. And this is one of the reasons. By the way, do you guys feel abandoned by Norfolk Southern and the government right now?
Yes.
No, not even in money or resources, but just in information and being treated like adults.
Yes, absolutely.
All you want to do is be treated like adults, correct?
Exactly. Like human beings.
Like Americans.
No amount of money can take away the cancer that's going to be here.
Forget BLM. We need railroad reparations. That's what we need here.
You know,
I love that. Give me that again.
Forget BLM. We need railroad reparations. And that's the entire, everyone who lives near a track. There's a thousand last year to Pete Buttigieg? You know, Buttigieged nobody until Mayor Pete came along.
Thank you.
was his trip out to East Palestine, was that effective?
he looked like one of the YMCA guys.
We got to cut that song out, by the way, from the end of the Trump thing. That's a big bone of contention for me. I'm not a fan of the songless, as I have said. This was a great idea. And by the way, what we have to do, the IG, would you guys all like, if we can get the Inspector General of the EPA to come out and have a town hall. If we can convince him, you think that'd be a good idea?
Yeah.
Would you support that as citizens?
Yes.
You would? Okay, Mo, you want to talk to our gentleman? You came in from where, sir?
Pittsburgh. I came from Pittsburgh to support the people from Palestine and Great America's Voice. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
And I just told your dad that when I spoke to this lady over in the corner, I didn't catch her name, but she said when she walked in the room, she felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. And the minute she told me that, we both started crying over there. And I'm not an emotional man at all, but I can feel it myself. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's in this room.
100%.
Amen to that,
100%.
No doubt.
And I want to thank you, Steve.
No, it's you guys. That's why we came out here. And yesterday, I can tell you, the show yesterday, it's very hard to do these live shows, right? Because you're going back and forth, they're not scripted. You're kind of doing it on the fly. We're also trying to put in other news at the same time. the audience reaction yesterday was fantastic. And we owe this to John Fredericks. This was John's idea.
And like Ben said, when he was down at the creek a little while ago, and like you said, God's not going to give up on the people here. The government might, but God is not going to give up on the people here.
You saw this study. You saw this study that was done in the Wall Street Journal. It was they've been doing this poll for I think 40 years, and the in 40 years they are we okay? We're good?
No, I was not good.
Oh, okay, fine. Murray, give me those hand signals. I'm well, Coach. The poll said, "Do you have better faith that for your children and grandchildren things are going to be better?" And it's always been categorical that it's been over 60% to 70% because American people, you know, always have faith in the future and make sacrifice. I mean, think of the people that came here, you know, back in the early 18th century, right? The think down range of what the sacrifice of what they had. And for the first time, I think it's 79% of the American people don't think things are going to be better for their children and grandchildren. That's the foundation. Once you hit those kind of levels, that's when the whole thing starts to crumble, right? And you can see it right now. The way you can see it is, and I want to go back to the Silicon Valley Bank. They had another revelation yesterday. It turns out these scumbag venture capitalists sucked out $40 billion on the first day. They had put in orders to suck out $100 billion, and 98% of these accounts were over $250,000. So it was all the elites in Silicon Valley. They sucked out $100 billion. That's why the regulators had to come in the first thing in the morning and shut the bank down. And they still got a bailout that weekend. The elites still got a bailout when they had all the capital in the world. All they had to do was give credit lines to their companies to make payroll. They paid everybody. And you guys have not seen anything, correct? Been no bailout at all for East Palestine. This is the fundamental problem. Surrounding areas. I'm very sensitive to that. Greater East Palestine, right? And let's go back. Can you talk to us again about the situation with the pumps?
Yes.
Why don't we turn around here?
So I was concerned from the beginning because it didn't seem like a good idea to me. You talked about a sense of urgency from the EPA and Norfolk Southern. Here's their sense of urgency. The EPA is so proud that they were here 2 hours after the derailment. They don't let us forget. Their initial report.
By the way, that's a very important remember, and we're getting specifics. Them admitting that is absolutely essential to everything that will come forward of that. Because by federal regulation, as Jeff Clark says, they are the on scene commander. They're the on scene commander for the National Response Center and Norfolk Center. By them admitting it. Means that whole
thing. Well, they're bragging about it.
Yeah,
they brag about it.
This is why I think the Inspector General understands because of this show and the people and people like Jeff Clark. Oh sorry. What they're doing. It's called a microphone, right? Whoa. See, you guys are so well trained. No, but they understand they have a problem because they did follow the regulations except when they didn't.
So their initial report, I'm sure the people in town will remember, but a lot of people don't know this. Their initial report was that shortly after the evacuation, they released an initial report that said, we observed Norfolk Southern laying down tracks over contaminated liquid and soil. Now, that's the people that are supposed to protect us. Why are they letting them do that? I described this before as like you're going to confront your bully with your big brother. And when you get there, your big brother beats you up in front of the bully. EPA is supposed to be on our side. So I went to have these explained because they threw so many more aerators as soon as they started digging up the site. The second, you know, when they were told to pull up the tracks, they said that they are releasing, with every shovelful, releasing butyl acrylate and other chemicals in the air up there, and it's coming down the creek. So I have filmed on a weekly basis in this creek since this happened. And as these they're digging, more chemicals are coming. And when they put these up here, they're spewing chemicals into the air. So I went there specifically to ask for air monitors. What is missing right here? There is not an air monitor by any of those machines. If this was a regular construction crew, this site would be shut down. There are kids playing right here, breathing in those chemicals, playing in the creek. There's no fences. There should be a site. If they have to do this, there should be a cyclone fence, and there should be signs, enter at your own risk, where deadly chemicals or hazardous chemicals in the air. It is actually, what is the word? Negligence. It's negligence.
Criminal negligence. Let me ask you, if they came to you and laid through the program or the process, because there's two things here. One is exactly what they're trying to accomplish. The other is how they execute on it, right, with the fences and keeping kids away. If they came and made a presentation to a town hall, you guys could attend and ask questions and walk through the process, right, if they would do that. Well, they have not done that today.
I said from the beginning, why doesn't the Army Corps of Engineers come here and dredge up the creek? They say they can't do it because they said as they're working on the crash site, more chemicals are coming. Why don't they dam it up and reroute, go around the crash site and bring the water and just eliminate it and dredge up the creeks? I mean,
PhD means piled high and deep.
Short commercial break. We're going to come back in 1 second. We're going to continue this conversation. Let's hear it. We're getting somewhere now.
Arrived. The new social media taking on big tech, protecting free speech, and canceling cancel culture. Join the marketplace of ideas. The platform for independent thought has arrived. Superior technology. No more selling your personal data. No more censorship. No more cancel culture. Enough. Getter has arrived. It's time to say what you want, the way you want. Download now.
Welcome back to East Palestine, Ohio. Mama, toss to you. Right, we got to keep it tight. You like what you're hearing from our doctor up here, correct?
Yes. Absolutely. Are we on? Absolutely. One of the things, though, very important to know is that people need scientific data to back them up when they go to these meetings. Okay, when they approach the EPA, when they approach the government, here is a scientific fact showing that you're killing us. Not your opinion, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help people get water, soil, and air quality testing. Okay, very reasonable too. So I just want to let you guys.
But why should this one? I'm confused. Why should citizens? I'm not downplaying that, but shouldn't? If the government's here, shouldn't they be doing it? It's a big burden on citizens who are hard-pressed to begin with.
I agree.
To have to do it. I mean,
I'm trying to keep things reasonable.
Right.
But here's the thing. When I came down here, I was called to come down here. I didn't come down as a citizen. Right. I was called to come down here, and they told me, I said, well, listen, the government will pay for it. The railroad will pay for it. They said, we don't trust either one because the railroad will not throw themselves under the train. No pun intended. And then the government, after this 4 years of a fake pandemic, they don't trust them either. So that's why this should have an independent study.
Hang on. We're going to get back to you. You stay right there. I tell you, we have two. I guess we get this camera. Is this camera the best? Oh, you've got your – okay. Who are you guys and who are the two great-looking kids?
I'm Betty Kelly, and this is my granddaughter, Maya Ray Plum. And
your granddaughter.
My granddaughter, yes.
Man, what is in the water out here? Oh, no. This will be, no, I'm man, oh, man. You're going to have everybody in the world coming here.
My name is Brianna, and this is my daughter, Riley. They're both mine.
They're both, you're her daughter?
Yes.
Okay, wow. So tell us about, are the kids been impacted by what's happened here?
Yes, they have been sick with fevers, runny nose, cough. They've been very congested since it happened. She is actually completely covered in a rash. She's very itchy. It's all over her stomach, her mouth, her arms.
Do we have the pictures? Can we put the pictures up? Can we flash the pictures? Why don't you and when you get the pictures, flash screen. Keep telling. How tough has it been for her?
It's been rough. They've been very, very fussy. I know it's very irritating to them, because they're covered in rashes. She's not as bad, but she definitely has spots all over her. It's honestly just terrible.
And how far do you live from these events?
We're actually 3 miles away,
Oh, look at this right here. Can you explain to our international audience what they're seeing?
That is the rash that is all over my youngest daughter, Riley. She has had that since a couple of days after the train derailment happened. It'll go away, and then it'll come back, and it'll get worse, and then it'll go away, and it'll come back, and it just continues.
Have you told any of the authorities about this? Have they seen that?
No. No, I haven't told anybody about it. This will be the first time.
I mean, the biggest issue we're dealing with is we live about 80 feet from the creek, and every time it rains, it stirs the toxins up. So that's when the rash gets to this point and gets really, really bad. And I've experienced severe headaches like every single day. Been having nosebleeds lately. It's been devastating.
Let's cut back to the mom and the grandma. Give me that again. How far from the creek do the babies live?
80 feet.
80 feet.
Yes.
And so what Ben was out there stirring up, you guys see that all the time?
Yes. He was actually right across the street from our house when when those videos were up, when he was there stirring the creek up.
When they put the pumps up and start throwing the air, do you go out and talk to the EPA guys around, even not thrown on the rashes? Do you ask them about why they're doing this or what's in the creek? Has anybody tested the creek around you and shown you any kind of data?
We haven't seen any data, but of course we're constantly being told that everything's fine and everything's safe. But obviously with all the symptoms we're having and the way the children have been, it's obviously not safe. So we don't believe anything at all that they're telling us.
This is like, remember Love Canal? Like, no. It's just like, no. You've got to get to the bottom of this. Water, the soil, and this all came from, remember, this all came from their actions in that first couple of nights when they decided to do a controlled release. And remember, the reason they were doing it is for your benefit. Because they didn't do it. The car was going to explode, and the shrapnel was going to go down. And why do you say that's false?
Oh no, there's already been reports that was falser. That you can put a bomb connected to that, and it wouldn't have blown up, because it's called equilibrium. When it got so cold, it developed equilibrium in the tanks, and it wouldn't exploded. So that's false.
You're saying Norfolk Southern lied to you?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so shocked. Once again, what are your names and what are the children's names? We're going to make sure we follow up on this.
My name's Betty Kelly, and this is Maya May. That's Riley Ray and Brianna Kelly.
Plum. Or Brianna Plum.
these are both. How old? What's the separation?
She's two. She just turned two in February, and she just turned one in February.
Irish twins.
Irish twins, yep.
Irish twins.
Yeah.
For the Kellys. You guys are fantastic. We're going to make sure we get these photographs. We're going to figure something out, okay? Can we hear it for the Kelly family?
Thank you.
Right there. That's our future right there. Make sure the camera, let's get a shot of the kids, okay? Fantastic.
Well, you can't see.
You know what's unacceptable is that nobody in the government or nobody in Norfolk Southern is proactive. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of urgency. They just want you guys to go away, right? Shut up and go away. Are you guys going to go away?
No.
Are you getting angrier and angrier? Okay. I agree. I want to thank you, too. And by the way, very courageous. We'll make sure that we get those photos and all that. Are there doctors in the area that are concerned about this? Do we know that?
Honestly, I took her to the pediatricians, and her pediatrician had said that any chemical that goes into their body, they are just going, it's just going to come out the other end. That's what her pediatrician had said. That's what I was told.
I'm not here to give medical advice, but maybe time to check the yellow pages. So broader range of
people. I'm getting a new one.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to be here in East Palestine, Ohio. So glad we made the trip, John Fredericks. Let's hear it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Fantastic. We're going to be stars.
We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP.